Even the most seasoned actors can feel the need to revise their craft. Their skill set depends on their ability to intuit the nuances of human behavior. And those are skills that can never be perfected, only improved. Actor Courtney Kosten hones her craft and helps others do the same through workshops like the one she's about to begin at the Actors Group in Honolulu. And Courtney's with us in our studio. Thanks for coming in, Courtney.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
What kind of things happen at a workshop? You know, you have actors of varying degrees of experience and skill, right?
We do, yes. This is actually going to be the third workshop we've had at TAG. The first workshop we really was geared towards just sort of acting in general. We like to have in-depth discussion about what's good acting versus bad acting and why we see that. Mm-hmm. And then we also, I really wanted to give them the opportunity to be able to perform. Usually when you take classes or you do workshops, you just sort of have a condensed version. You learn everything, and then you're done at the end. But for me, a lot of my learning expertise, a lot of my the backbone of my experience, really came from being able to perform in front of a group of people. It changes so differently. So So I really wanted them to be able to have that experience. So what we did is we worked on scenes and monologues, and at the end of the 6 weeks, we just opened it up to friends and family. They came in to see. We called it our performance showcase, mm-hmm. and to just see what they've been working on. And then the second class was a little bit more in depth for acting exercises or acting techniques. We worked a lot with Stanford Meiser, Stella Adler, and Michael Chekhov, just learning the different styles and just kind of figuring out what works for everybody.
Those being the three of the prevailing kind of schools of mm-hmm. thought about method acting or formal Chekhovian acting, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of some of the established pathways.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And based on those, I mean, those also need to be adapted to the material, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it would be very difficult to take something from Chekhov, say, and maybe do, something a little bit more contemporary. So
yeah.
Each one is really written and specified for a specific, sort of a specific genre of theater.
You know, I want to go back to something you said at the beginning, good acting versus bad acting, because everybody's got an opinion about that.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no one who doesn't feel qualified to judge whether somebody's a good or a bad actor.
Absolutely.
Right?
And Chris, you said you're a musician, so, you don't have to be skilled, really, to hear someone play music and to know if that person's necessarily good or bad.
That's a good point.
So, yeah. And I think acting is the same way. You know, you sort of go and you have this experience, and so we just wanted to be able to pinpoint it. We wanted to start that conversation as when I go see something, was that a choice that maybe the actor made? Was that something that the playwright wrote? Was that a director's choice? So just trying to kind of figure out and go, why did they make that decision, and why didn't it work for me, or why did it work for me?
And if it did work for you, it's because of some version of it was real.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the majority of the consensus was, when I see good acting, it feels natural. It really kind of keeps me connected to the moment. It doesn't feel phony.
You're not supposed to even know it's being
exactly.
done.
Yeah, right.
Which can make it a little bit tricky to teach or to encourage, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another reason, going back to the performance workshop or the performance showcase, is, even if you spend weeks and weeks through a rehearsal process, your energy level changes quite differently when you've got someone in the audience for the first time.
Oh,
so, even if you feel like you've got it narrowed down and, you're 100%, all of a sudden you bring another aspect into the theater and you have this live energy, it changes everything for mm-hmm. you, so...
You can be in front of an audience that gives you the energy to just sail through a performance.
Absolutely, yes.
Or mm-hmm. you can be in front of an audience that you just, every time you look at them, you think, oh my God, I'm dying out here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's you feed very much off of the energy of the audience. You can tell when they're engaged and they're excited or, when they're hurt for you. And
what do you do in the latter case?
Oh gosh. Well, there's not a whole lot. Hopefully you've got either a director or an ASM who will come behind stage and say, gosh, our pace is a little low, or, and then there's times where we've had a show and we just thought, gosh, that didn't go very well. They didn't really seem connected. I didn't think they liked it. And then after the show, you have people come up and say, wow, this is really fantastic. We didn't even really know how to respond in the moment. So,
well, that's the other thing.
Yeah, I think it varies. People's response, especially with theater, I don't think a lot of people... spend time in a lot of live theater. Everything we see is at the movie theater. So they're not sure if they can vocally, go gasp or when that moment arrives. I don't know if they know that they're able to do that and that it helps feed the actors as well.
But if you're not getting fed, you can't just stop, right?
No, absolutely. The show must go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you draw on there? You just draw on your technique, I would think.
Yeah, your technique. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to muscle memory, you know, just continuing. You don't want to change things. You know, you want to do it as you've rehearsed it. Mm-hmm. Because for the majority of the audience, hopefully that does work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just sticking to the plan.
And not tripping over what other people might be thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
a big part of that, too,
sure.
I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done the things you've, say, described in your first two workshops, and as you develop a third workshop, let's say someone has been to the previous two, what's left to discuss in an upcoming workshop?
Yeah, no, I'm really glad you brought that up. So I've had people, a continuous group of people that have signed up for each individual workshop. And for this particular workshop, I really wanted to cater towards the people that have really enjoyed the workshops and are ready to get out into the community to start to audition for things. So mm-hmm. I wanted to provide a little bit of the backbone for them, blocking, how to take direction, you know, sort of the different positions or roles in the theater, what the director does, what the set design team, you know, is mm-hmm. is primarily responsible for. And just so that they have a general backbone. And then we're also going to work through acting. We still wanted to incorporate acting, but we're going to do some scene work as well.
Mm-hmm. So mixing in a lot of practical nuts and bolts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's different, too. When you go see a show, you know, when you have the background information of, oh, wow, who made that decision, or, you know, a light cue or a sound cue, everything really sort of incorporates. But if you're not aware of those individual little things, sometimes when you watch it, you just don't know.
Always more to learn, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Always more to learn.
Courtney, thanks so much for coming
in. Thanks, Chris, so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Courtney Costin will conduct a 6-week acting workshop at the Actors Group's Brad Powell Theater beginning this Sunday, July 1st, and you can find details on our Facebook page, The Conversation.